You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Retronauts is part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. For more information, please go to greenlitpodcasts.com.
This week on Retronauts, we're mad about Moogles. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Retronauts. Today's episode is titled Moogle Madness. It's going to be a history of Moogles, the fuzzy creatures from the Final Fantasy world. Have I run out of ideas? Probably. Have I gone insane over a year of lockdown? Definitely. But I thought of this as a fun idea to do because over the past year or two, Jeremy's put together some great episodes about, you know, different Mushroom Kingdom characters, and I thought we could do the same thing for other game series, and because Final Fantasy really doesn't have a lot of consistent characters, I want to zero in on Moogles first, and then we'll move on to Chocobos. I'm not sure which ones I like more. Maybe we'll figure that out in this podcast. So, before I go on any further, who is here in the same room with me, as always?
Well, hi, it's Henry Gilbert, the Moogle strawberry pancake enjoyer.
And who do we have on the West Coast remotely?
It's me, Chris Kohler, big Moogle fan myself, I would say.
And who is our North Carolina correspondent?
That's me, Jeremy Parrish, the salty Moogle. I say Cuso instead of Kupo.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
This podcast is rated T for teen.
That's right. We're working blue.
Comic mischief is happening right now. Before I begin, of course, we all know Moogles are from Final Fantasy. We all have some familiarity with them. They've been around for now 31 years. I want to go around this room here and ask, where did Moogles enter our lives? What's our stance on Moogles? Let's go with Chris first.
So, you know, technically, the first time I ever saw a Moogle would have to have been playing Secret of Mana and having the Moogle status applied to one of my characters, and then you were a Moogle. But of course, you know, who could have said at that point what would have then happened to the Moogle fandom from such simple beginnings. But then of course, you know, when Final Fantasy 3 came out, and one of your and Mog, so I mean, he was on the cover, for gosh sakes, you know, they clearly were going hard with trying to make Moogles a thing with the US marketing of Final Fantasy 3, aka Final Fantasy 6. And I totally got suckered in. I was like, yes, you're right, these are the best.
Henry, how about you?
Well, I hate to just copy Chris, but the advertisements of Final Fantasy III American really got me. I never saw the television version of the ads for it, but the ads on the back of game magazines or comic books introduced me to the Moogles. When I played Final Fantasy III American, I then was like, oh man, these guys are so cool. And I think it doubled down for me I didn't give a crap about how the Moogles appeared in 7 or 8, and not even so much 9, but when we played Crystal Chronicles together, which me and my friends did a ton of, we really got into the Moogles in those games. And so that was where I was like, oh, I guess I do really like Moogles, because I didn't particularly care for Mog in 3. I'm sorry.
My story is very similar, but Jeremy, please tell your story about Moogles.
I mean, I don't really have anything to add, aside from the fact that I did see the Final Fantasy III advertisement, the famous Mog doing the casting couch, whatever the hell that was.
Well, yeah. He wasn't sleeping with the monsters.
No, he was just like calling in random enemies. Like, they just pick some weird ass enemies. Yeah, and then he'd like destroy them. Next. Mm-hmm. So I played Secret of Mana, I guess it's Mana now. And I occasionally got Moogled. So then when I saw, you know, the Moogles, I was like, oh, it's a thing. They're a thing. But those commercials only showed, I only ever saw them watching like late night MTV, Beavis and Butthead and that sort of thing, like with friends. And when I was in college, cause I'm an old timer. So you kids might have been too young to have seen Mog in his natural state. But I did. And even though that commercial had nothing what the hell so ever to do with the game, I was still like, I gotta own this, and I did.
They did not want
so
you to
worked.
Know. Yeah.
It was a success.
Yeah. This podcast is all gonna be about how marketing really worked on us as children and young adults, because like Chris, I saw the Moogles first in Secret of Mana. I thought they were fine. And then Final Fantasy III US came out. I was really obsessed with that game, and the marketing totally worked on me, because we'll talk more about it when we get to Mog, but that game was all about Mog and Moogles. Moogles were part of the advertising campaign. They were in the magazine ads. He was on the cover of the damn game, and there's that great commercial, which I think is one of the few instances in which the edgy marketing of a not edgy video game kind of worked. Mm-hmm. But I was drawing Moogles all over my notebooks because they're kind of easy to draw, and just very obsessed with Moogles from that point onward. But yeah, it was really, Secret of Mana was just the gateway drug into Moogles with me. And then FF6 was like Moogle heroin. I'm still chasing that dragon, but from that point on, obsessed with Moogles. And then doing the research for this, I realized Moogles are getting shortchanged, and it's an issue that we really need to focus on in our society, because I am also pro chocobo, but Moogles need more attention. I'm a pro Moogle podcaster, and we're going to see how Square is very wishy-washy about Moogles throughout the history of Final Fantasy, and I don't like it. So I want to go over some Moogle basics here, just the very essence of Moogles, what they are, what their name means, and so on. So they're interpreted slightly differently in every game. There's various variants of Moogles in different series, but what's important is, because this is a Japanese thing, it's based on a pun. And the Japanese name for Moogle is Moguri, and that is the portmanteau of bat, which is Komori, and mole, which is Moguru. And that explains its appearance. I don't think I knew that until I was maybe 25 or 26, that's the original name. And it basically, if you were to localize that, it would be, it's a mole bat. Mm-hmm. And that would be the name of the character.
Yeah, so I think we all lucked out that they're not called mole bats.
Yeah. In my notes, I put it's like Godzilla in that they don't translate the portmanteau, but still Godzilla is evocative of what Godzilla is. I think Moogle is still evocative of the thing you're seeing, even if you're losing the meaning of the pun in the two words that are being mashed together in Japanese.
Yeah, they look like Moogles. You think the word Moogle and you're like, oh yeah, it's this little squishy guy with the little pom-pom. It's definitely a Moogle.
Yeah, I think I just thought it was like made up word, like Jeep the Jeep or whatever from old Popeye cartoons. Just that's a Jeep. This is a Moogle. Like, it's just a thing. I honestly didn't know it was. I should have always assumed it was a pun because it's a funny name from a Japanese video game. But I learned from these notes that it was a pun, and because I also never thought of them as like mole bats. Like, I always saw them as kitty cats, not even at their most closed eyed, I still thought of them as cat things.
See, the closed eyes would come later. Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
I don't like it. I don't like knowing that it comes from that it comes from you know, mole and bat.
It should be more magical than that.
Me.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, basically, you've seen Moogles, and if you don't, look at the cover art for this podcast, you'll know what a Moogle is. It's a fuzzy little creature. They fly around. They've got usually round noses, squinty eyes. They've got a little pom-pom that hangs from their head by an antenna. They have bat wings. That's essentially what they are, although, again, they are visually interpreted differently in every game, and we'll go over that in excruciating detail, because this podcast is all about Moogles. And for some reason, they say Koopa. I don't know if that's a pun or if that is a reference to something, or just a fun on onomatopoeia, but that is essentially what they say. And some of them speak English, like Mog in Final Fantasy VI.
What I love about them is how huggable they are. Like, chocobos to me, not as huggable, except for a fat chocobo. Like, that I could hug all day, but...
They do feel more marketable than chocobos because of that, which surprises me that they're not in every game, like from the beginning even. But like chocobos, Square did not have Moogles in mind for the first game, and after their initial appearance, it took a few years for them to get comfortable with the idea of making them a regular feature, especially as the games got more realistic over time and there was less of a presence of Moogles, because even in the realistic games, you can get away with a chocobo because you're like, oh yeah, it's like a big bird. We have those here. It could conceivably be on a farm or can pull something. But Moogles, they are a little iffy about when the games are more realistic. Chris, sorry.
Well, there's no Moogles in Final Fantasy I because Moogles aren't in the D&D monster manual.
That's right. If they were able to be ripped off, then they would be present. But yeah, they really used every page of that monster manual. And I don't think J.K. Rowling was a Final Fantasy fan, because when I was looking up stuff about Moogles, I saw a lot of references to Muggles, because I assume a lot of those materials were being written when Harry Potter was much bigger. But I assume there was no lawsuit there, and we can all forget about her from now on, thankfully. So the origins of Moogles. So chocobos debuted in Final Fantasy II, and Moogles were going to be in this game as well.
They almost did, yeah.
And oddly enough, they were replaced with beavers.
which is quite a choice. So I think it was because, if you look at the Final Fantasy Ultimania archive books, which have a lot of like behind the scenes and cut content that are actually all available in English now from Dark Horse, you can see the original designs for the Moogles. They were designed by Koichi Ishii, who would then go on to do the Mana series, so that's probably why they kind of have that little crossover there. They did the sprites for them and everything exactly as they would later appear during the development of Final Fantasy II. They were calling them Kurion at that point, but they ditched them, and yes, they ended up replacing them in Final Fantasy II with just beavers, just straight up just beavers. They swim in like an underground cave, so maybe they figured beaver, being a semi-aquatic sort of animal, was what they wanted there.
Yeah,
and work better for the story. I don't know.
And one of your party members in the game can talk to the beavers because he speaks the beaver language. Again, nobody has really played Final Fantasy II, so I think people don't know there are a race of beavers in this game. But if you get far enough into the game, you will meet a race of beavers and talk to them.
Yeah. No, nobody has played Final Fantasy II. You can at least... I was thinking about this the other day because, like, I have played, you know, Final Fantasy. It's very easy to play Final Fantasy 1 and 2, the Game Boy Advance versions, which just have those just really nice quality of life upgrades. But then it's like, oh man, they never did one of those for Final Fantasy 3. And like, I'm never going to, it's like I played the DS version, but it's like, I don't think I'm ever going to slog my way through like the Famicom version of Final Fantasy 3, even in translation, just because like NES role-playing games in their original state are just so like slow and painful to go through. I want a Dawn of Souls style remake of Final Fantasy III, so we can experience, amongst many other cool things, like the introduction of the job change system, but we can introduce the actual introduction of Moogles into Final Fantasy, which was in 3.
Yeah,
you know, they supposedly were going to make one of those for WonderSwan to follow up on 1, 2, and 4. But from what I understand, the source code was lost or something, so they were just like, eh.
Yeah, FF3, in many ways, it was, a more streamlined game. In many ways, it was just as hateful. I remember playing that game for the DS, and they kept the old thing in the old game in which if you lost to the final boss, it kicked you back to halfway through the final dungeon. And at that point, I was like, to my own self, I finished that game. I don't care if the game doesn't think so. I did finish it. Oh, sorry,
Henry. The designers like talked about that later, how like, oh well, you know, because it was the introduction of the job change system, like, oh well, you know, we want people to like, you know, build up these amazing characters before they go into the final dungeon, and we don't want it to be too easy, so they made it like super super hard. And
It's interesting to me, and too, that they went with beavers when, you know, I would think by the late 80s, it was becoming just normal of if you, at least for, you know, animated series and comic books, you have the cute sidekick that can be the toy you can sell. Like,
yeah.
Like Nausicaa was just, you know, 6 years before FF2 hit the Famicom, like, or 5 years. But so I'm surprised they weren't thinking of a plush to sell at that point with the Moogles.
And Chris,
that is not where I think Square's head was at that time. I mean, they were still kind of they'd had hits with the Final Fantasy games, but they were still very much like a small boutique, you know, game publisher. There wasn't a lot of merch out there. It was really, I think, in the Super Famicom era where you started to see a lot more of that stuff. But there were no plushes for a long time.
Now, Chris, in Final Fantasy II, in that Ultimania guide, were these characters known as the Mulgari? Is that what they was the name?
No, they were called. It was Cryon.
Cryon, okay.
Because Cryon, yeah.
I was trying to figure out where the word Moogle came from, and we'll get more into that later. But back to the beavers, my favorite subject. These guys.
Oh, yeah, no, let's just go right back there.
These guys are really weird looking, these sprites. And what I like about Final Fantasy XIV, I've been playing a lot of that. I'm almost caught up to all the new content, and they mine the deepest of deep cuts in the Final Fantasy series. These beavers make a return, and they are just as stupid looking in that game. So kudos to Square for finding things that no one ever references. And you could actually now buy a plush beaver from FF2. It's available in the Square Enix store. So there you have it. They'll market everything.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
3 decades later, they merchandised those beavers.
Yes. Next section of the notes here is labeled Moogles Rising, because this is when Moogles make their grand debut in 1990's Final Fantasy III, which obviously we didn't get into 2006, and that was the subject of the first Retronauts 15 years ago, coming very soon.
Hey, don't use that number, please.
Hey, it's a legacy we have here. And so their appearance is super limited in this game. They are completely contained in the house of one sage. They're sort of his bodyguards and helpers. And they say Nya, which is the onomatopoeia for a cat, instead of Koopo. And whoever was writing the dialogue in this game must have assumed that, oh, these are cat creatures, I guess, based on the sprites. And I don't know if the word Moogle is used within the game. I was watching the section of a Let's Play of that section. Nobody says Moogle. There's no reference to these are the Moogles. And
I have the answer for you.
Oh, please, Chris.
Yes. So in this does happen often in these early Final Fantasy games. No, nobody says Moogle in the game. However, in the official Final Fantasy III Famicom strategy guide that I'm holding in my hands right now, it indeed calls them out as the Mulgari.
Okay.
Mulgari. Yep. So it is in there.
So within documentation, Mulgari was on the table at this point.
Yep.
At least by the time they got text to a publisher, they've decided these are Mulgari. Okay.
But they don't say Koopo, they don't have squinty eyes, and they just live with some old guy. And they don't really have their own thing going on. You just talk to them in this sage's house, and they give you backstory about you know, what's going on in the world and what's going on with the main villain of the game. But yeah, they're Moogles in appearance, but Moogles are usually pretty more fun, I think, in general, instead of being these little housekeepers. But in the DS remake of Final Fantasy III, they take a grander role, in that the game kind of reuses the Mognet system from Final Fantasy IX, in which you have to, well, you don't have to, but you can deliver correspondence between different NPCs in order to get different items. And in the case of Final Fantasy III for the DS, to get the best gear possible, you had to send letters to your friends over Wi-Fi, which was still a very new thing in 2006 to really use Wi-Fi on the DS.
Does that require the Nintendo Wi-Fi connection, or is it just direct, like, system-to-system Wi-Fi?
You could do system-to-system Wi-Fi, but I believe with the with this quest in the game, you needed to actually use Wi-Fi. And I think for it, you both needed the friend code for the game and the friend code for your DS, which happened a lot back then.
And then either your home dongle or you had to go to a McDonald's.
Yes, that too. Or Starbucks.
So basically that job class is no longer unlockable in the DS version of Final Fantasy III because Nintendo's Wi-Fi connection no longer has extant servers, basically.
So yeah, that shut down in 2014, and now I think I was reading that for the future versions of this game, because they just awkwardly dropped this DS port onto other platforms like mobile and Steam, they changed this quest so there's different criteria involved in sending letters to friends, because you just can't do that anymore. It was never part of the new ports they made.
And I think I maybe did step one or two of that quest and then thought, hey, I don't like the Onionite job anyway. I'm not going to bother. I didn't need 100% completeness on a game, though I did beat it. I did finish it.
This was the era of time in which, for me at least, Wi-Fi felt like magic, mm-hmm. that it shouldn't exist. And I bought a dongle for Animal Crossing, and just the one night I had it working, it was just amazing to see my DS open and people coming into my town, like strangers. But now it's like wherever I go, I'm like, what's the Wi-Fi? That's just my first question. What's your Wi-Fi? Do I have to buy something? But yeah, that's the grand debut of Mugles in FF3.
Mugles.
That's a snack food they should sell.
Crunchy corn snack.
Oh, I could go for some Mugles.
Now there's a tie-in product.
Yeah.
There's not enough merchandising.
It should be a bugle with a little palm on the end of it.
That's, I agree. But yeah, they saw a place for Mugles in this remake, because obviously Mugles were a very small feature of the original game. They're like, well, we should use them more because they debuted in this game. And then,
Before we go any further, so I went back to grab this this quote that was actually just in the past year. They did an extensive interview with Koichi Ishii about Final Fantasy III, because it just passed its 30th anniversary. He talks about the genesis of this, and even though it's moles and bats, there's another animal that comes into play. So Ishii says, I'll just read the quote. I'll just read the quote for historical purposes. It says, well, the one who actually created Mugles was me as an elementary school student. I made the character when I was in elementary school, at which time I was drawing all kinds of fantasy creatures and the like. I liked koalas.
Oh.
And so I'd draw koala-like creatures that were all white, similar to what was in the strategy guide I mentioned, some other thing he was talking about. Bat-like things clinging to the ceiling. White koalas with wings like a bat. Those wings are for controlling direction in the air, not flapping around to fly. And that's why Mughals have a big nose, because he was really thinking about koalas as one of the animals that sort of made this fantasy character that he invented when he was in elementary school.
You just unlocked new knowledge, because the FF7 remake, the Choco Mog summon, it looks just like a koala. They make it look like a koala. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense.
Wow.
There you go.
Man, I did not. It makes total sense there that also like koalas. Japanese kids love koalas. They eat them every day. In Koala March, I should say.
Yeah. Koala yummies.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
I'm such a weeb, I call them Koala March, not Koala Yummies.
Well, they sell them here as Koala March now, so
they do.
There's no more localization.
Aww.
But yeah, it's so moving on. So yeah, you mentioned, Chris, that he invented them in grade school. That makes a lot of sense, because when I was a kid and FF3 was my favorite game, I was not going to sit down and draw Terra or Edgar or anybody else in that game, because they were all like very complicated Amano illustrations. It was easy to just draw a Moogle in the margins of my notebook. And if you look at the Amano illustrations of Mog from that game, there are so many of them, and they're all so simple and cute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like Amano is just doodling Mog in his notebook margins too. Like you can find so many of these little sketches of Mog just doing random stupid things. It's great.
I love it.
I really love the American strategy guide for Final Fantasy III, the Nintendo Power official guide that they published back in the day, because they filled it with as much of Amano's art as they could. And it was really interesting to see this like super sketchy kind of watercolor and ink artwork of all these characters. But there was a bunch of Mog in there, and it really stood out. It like kind of reinforced the fact that, oh yeah, this character is kind of a big deal for this game. He's not just on the box. He's not just in the commercial, but here's all this artwork by, like some actual artist in the strategy guide. And also,
he has
like missable stuff. It's like, I gotta play as Mog all the time.
You may not have been looking actually at Mog in all of those illustrations. I don't want to jump ahead too much, but like,
it's true. It could have been Kupapo.
I think that Amano actually did. I don't have that strategy guide to hand, but I think he did one big illustration with all of the Moogles that appeared in Final Fantasy VI, and they may have split that up for the strategy guide. But yeah, we can get to that.
This episode is one long drive to the Mog Factory, unfortunately, because he's the star of the show. Let's move on to Secret of Mana. So, Chris, you were pointing out that Koichi Ishii, the creator of Secret of Mana, is the creator of Moogles, so that makes sense because Moogles, after their grand debut in FF3. They're not in FF4. FF4 is all about chocobos. There's different colors. There's fat ones. There's white ones. There's black ones. It's chocobo crazy in that in that game. But then Moogles...
You've also got little frog people. You've got dwarves. You've got like all those characters in the little village, but none of them are Moogles. It felt like a missed opportunity.
Yeah, tons of new races and new species of animals in that game, but Moogles are just left on the table, which is why they are later used in 1991's Final Fantasy Adventure. But they're not actually creatures in the game. A Moogle in this game is a status effect that turns you into a Moogle, which makes you unable to act and gives you very little defense. And thanks to the character limit, the in-game status is just simply Moog.
That's a common mistake. It's actually pronounced Moog.
Oh, okay. Nah. It turns you into a keyboard with very little defense.
That's right. But prog rock artists love you. Listen to that Wendy Carlos music.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not sure if... it could be as simple as Ishii, maybe he did not work on Final Fantasy IV because the Super Famicom, when that started, that's kind of when the teams kind of splintered and like people started working on, you know, Secret of Mana kind of at the beginning, and people started working on Final Fantasy IV, and there was a little bit of a split. So it may simply be the fact that like Ishii did not work on Final Fantasy IV, so they did not use that character, and he took it to the Seiken series.
Yeah, and like I said before, you don't meet Moogles in this game. You don't fight them. You don't talk to them. It's simply something you turn into when you're cursed, and that's it.
Yeah. Knowing how much Ishii like feels ownership of them, I could just see he was like, well, we have a status effect. What should they turn into? And he's like, well, we barely use these things in that last game I worked on. Let's just put that there. Like, this is before you had to have meetings about putting things and stuff.
Yeah, it seems like it really does look like from Wikipedia. Yeah, Final Fantasy III was Ishii's last Final Fantasy game, and then he went off to head up the Mana series. So started with Final Fantasy I, Final Fantasy Adventure, Secret of Mana. Yeah,
according to Moby Games, there's a special thanks to Koichi Ishii in Final Fantasy II from 1991, so the US version of 4. But that is it, and it would make sense. Like Secret of Mana had something of a tempestuous development cycle and took longer than I think the average game at that point did. So it would make sense that, you know, in the 2-year gap between Final Fantasy Adventure and Secret of Mana, that was just him like wrestling with his demons with Secret of Mana and trying to make that game happen.
And this is also with Final Fantasy Adventure or Seiken Densetsu, in the English instruction manual, it's actually the first use of the word Moogle in English. Mm. So that is where Moogle comes from. That was the first and final localization of that word. It was in that instruction book. That's because it's cool. Not in the game.
I like that. They didn't reset the naming of it to something else in the PlayStation era. Mm-hmm. I like it. Still stuck with it.
And so in the second Nintendo game, which we got a Secret of Mana, Moogles make a bigger presence. And this is a motif you'll see often with Moogles, and that they live in a protected village. They're kind of defenseless. Their village is attacked by things. In this case, their village is being attacked by blue hedgehogs. That cannot be a coincidence. and then eventually, they were fresh off their appearance in Final Fantasy V, which we'll talk about very soon. But at this point, Square was, I guess, either not paying attention or they were kind of okay with sharing different elements between series. But this would be when it would be all over, because after this, Moogles are once again a status effect in the third Seiken Densetsu game. So I feel like at some point Sakaguchi was like, all right, you keep your stuff and we'll keep our stuff. We don't want your rabbites. We don't want your goblins. And you can keep your bombs and your chocobos and whatnot, but we got to keep our series separate. I don't know if there was a conversation.
I don't know. You know, what's interesting is, you know, since they left Moogles alone for Final Fantasy IV, I think the question really is, because they didn't really play a very big part in Final Fantasy III, so... Then they had moved on and Ishii took them with him to the monasteries. My question is, why did they come back to Final Fantasy V? And that I really don't know.
That's a good question, because we see, I don't know if Secret of Mana is riffing on what we see in Final Fantasy V, but in Final Fantasy V, it's a very similar scenario in which the Moogle, you rescue a Moogle that's helpless from an enemy. The Moogle will lead you to this you know, abandoned village that's very protected by forest. And it seems like the very similar ideas are happening between both games, but I don't know why they came back in Final Fantasy V.
Mm-hmm. But regardless of like why it was, Final Fantasy V, that game, that is really the origin of the Moogles as this big part of Final Fantasy, because like that, I mean, again, that's where you first had the Moogle village. You had this Moogle side character that was friends with, you know, Kuril in the game, and you had that was the first game in which the Moogles said Koopa also.
And we have the Moogle theme for the first time, the one that's been remixed over and over and over throughout the games.
Yeah, I was going to say,
was the big one.
If Chris doesn't know why it's in Final Fantasy V and he wrote the book on it, nobody knows. when I finally played FF5 on the GBA, it was fun to see that version of, like, it was regressing in Moogle history. I was like, oh, this is what they looked like before 6. That was fun. I was not a big mana player. Don't judge me, listeners.
It's okay. There's one good game in that series.
one interesting thing I've noted is that the Moogles were kind of pushing out the dwarves. In each subsequent Final Fantasy game, there were fewer and fewer dwarves. And I think you get a bunch of Moogles in 5 and dwarves are just like limited to one cave, aren't they? There's just like one little area with them. And then Final Fantasy 6, oops, all Moogles. No dwarves at all.
Yeah, I guess earlier I was talking about Moogles getting in the shaft, but dwarves really got kicked out of the series fast. And again, they are reused a lot in FF14. So 14 really finds the abandoned races and just brings them into the game.
Yeah, only the first Final Fantasy had elves. Like, they got kicked out way fast.
That's right. Some other differences between Moogles in the future is that in this game, still, their eyes are open. We have not really dialed down on the mole part of their character. And also, they communicate telepathically, which is a big plot point in the game, which I don't think happens in any other Moogle-related media. I don't think that's something that carries forward in the future at all.
They're just really into psychic stuff.
Yes.
When working on FF5, I guess.
Finally, we have reached the Moogle factory. We are at Moogle Ground Zero, where it all began for Moogles and kind of ended, which is Final Fantasy VI, the biggest and best showcase of Moogles. And like we were saying earlier, Square's Western marketing for this game was all about Moogles. I don't know why. I mean, it's a marketable character, but not in the ways I would assume would be marketable for a Western audience, because this was the era of Earthworm Jim and Boogerman and Ren and Stimpy. And I will say that they did do their own artwork for the Western ads of Mog, but it is not too different from the Japanese artwork, and it's actually kind of good.
Well, if I'm trying to just put myself into the mind of a Keep It Loud era executive, like, if I'm looking at a collection of characters who like just character art for that game, I can see zeroing in on Mog and seeing like, oh, I guess that's a stirring character. Like, it looks cute. You could sell toys of it, but you could also get some of the, you know, Sonic era comedy of like, well, this thing looks cute, but it's actually pretty tough kind
of
stuff.
There was a and this really did kind of start with Five, and actually the addition of Tetsuya Nomura, who, I mean, maybe he was the one who wanted to bring Moogles back, because he is on record as saying he wanted to design cuter enemies for Final Fantasy V. And so Final Fantasy V is where you start seeing Tonberry was in Final Fantasy V also, and things like the Nuts Eater and the Skull Eater, the cute little squirrels, because prior to that, all the enemies in all the Final Fantasy games had been either D&D Monster Manual stuff, or, you know, really, really sort of realistic and scary. And then Five is where you start seeing cute enemies, and so Six really continued on that tradition. That's kind of where we see the, you know, cuteness sort of becoming a Final Fantasy and an element of the design sense of the Final Fantasy games.
Yeah, I think
so. That could be something there as well. Sorry, go ahead.
Were Tonberries new in Final Fantasy VI? That strikes me as another cute
five.
Enemy. Oh, Five. Okay, yeah. And that's when Nomura was taking over in terms of sprite artwork?
Yep. Okay. And then Cactuar was Final Fantasy VI also.
Okay,
yeah,
wow.
That's what I was going to ask. Well, that's also funny to me, because not to get ahead, but... the Nomura led games are like, those are the ones where Moogles didn't, like, they weren't banned, but they are lessened in their appearances compared to the non-Nomura FFs. But yeah, I can see the sensibility of the guy who'd create so many similar looking characters to Moogles were made up for the world of Kingdom Hearts that I can see he'd be attracted to it. But maybe it also, since it's not a guy he created, he maybe feels less interest in it going forward.
Well, I mean, you know, Final Fantasy VII, again, jumping a little ahead, did have a main party character that was a cat riding on a giant Moogle. So it wasn't as if they totally sidelined Moogles. I think that
was Moogles, for Final Fantasy VIII with the Moombas. Like, who wanted those?
No one wanted the Moombas. But the, with Final Fantasy VII, I get the sense that having Moogles, like, inhabit the world of Final Fantasy VII, like, as a race, like, didn't make sense because of the plot of Final Fantasy VII. Mm-hmm. And so I think they tried to find two ways to integrate them in which they didn't actually have to, like the arcade game and the stuffed doll, in which they didn't actually have to be like part of the biology of the world, but could be sort of on the cultural side.
I do want to go back to Six, though, because it is
it is
the Moogle game. Again, Mog the Moogle is at the center of all the marketing in the West, including the commercial, and he's on the cover of the box, but it's important to note that he is an optional character. In fact, the first time I played this game, I was like, oh man, when is this Moogle guy going to show up? And I didn't get him in the first half of the game, because you can miss him. You can completely miss him in the first half of the game. And then in the second half of the game, he's also optional. So it's funny that this character, who is the star of the show of the marketing, is such a minor character in the game itself.
You can let him die permanently. That's how optional he is.
Yeah,
right. But they do... even though you can miss him as a character, there is that big, very early game scene,
right?
That is so memorable, in which you fight alongside a whole pack of Moogles.
Yeah, for me, I did have him in my party when I first played it, but that's because I was playing Six off of a friend's borrowed cart from a friend, and they were saying, hey, we'd be talking through the whole time, and where I was at, and he made sure to remind me, do X to get Mog in your team, which then was funny, because like, for me FF6, I barely used Mog. I didn't like his gimmick, just like I didn't like Gao's gimmick, and I didn't like Realm's gimmick. I liked the straight. Everybody has a gimmick, but I did like the more violent gimmick people than the sillier thing.
Yeah, I think Mog is a fairly useless character in terms of his utility in battle, but I love him so much in terms of design that I put up with not using his abilities just to have him in my party, because in FF6, it uses like every idea in every FF game to date, and every character is representing an old class in the game. And in Mog's case, he is both a dancer and a geomancer. Two classes in FF5 I never ever use, especially Geomancer. And also, Mog has a bit of like a berserk quality to him, in that His ability is that he has a dance ability, and when you select dance, he will start dancing on his turn, and it will have one of four random effects based on the battle background. The thing is, he does not stop dancing. If you lock him into dancing, he will do that until the end of the round, or unless he's petrified or dead.
I love it. I think I love the way that they took the Final Fantasy V character classes and blended and mixed parts of them for the Final Fantasy VI characters. I think that it came out brilliantly, and I think Mog is the certainly the most subtle and the best example of combining Geomancer, Dancer, which I mean the dancer thing was sort of a superficial level because it doesn't really do the things that a dancer does. But yeah, and Berserker, and the idea that they got Berserker into the game, but the idea is that you get to choose how Berserk, that if that character goes Berserk or not, and so it adds a an interesting level to it. But yeah, I thought Mog's character was great in that respect. Certainly, one of the criticisms of Final Fantasy VI is that towards the end of the game, all your characters are sort of the same character because they're all just, you know, probably just casting Ultima all the time, not really using the special abilities. But certainly in the beginning, you know, Mog's dances can be so powerful, and it's so much fun to have to go around and find them all as well. So
I really like using Mog. I think he's a really fun character to have in the party. There is that element of unpredictability. You know, you can kind of change literally the playing field in a battle with his dances. And there is the possibility that if he tries to do a dance whose element is too far out of the current kind of situation you're in, he'll trip and fail and you'll waste a turn. But if he can change that, like if you're in, you know, some place that's like a fiery cavern or whatever with a lot of fire-based enemies, and you do the water rondo and you manage to change the field to water, you know, he's going to start blasting them with all these water effects, and it's going to be really, really effective. And I like, you know, that game is so, it's so easy to break it, and it's so easy to just kind of get into a routine where you do the same things over and over again. I like having Mog there, and Gao is also another one, where there's just kind of this element of unpredictability that keeps things interesting. It's like, you know, I could just stomp everyone, but it would be more interesting and more fun to do it this way. And I really enjoy that. And I also like, can he equip the Kappa spear? Is that correct? Like he can equip like Kappa equipment. I want to say that there is some way to like kind of change his nature or do something kind of weird with him with equipment. And I can't remember what it is.
Well, I do like those Moogle suits, though. I didn't use Mog much in my party, but I did like the Moogle
suits. You can transform Realm and Strego into Moogles. And going back to what Chris was talking about earlier with the RTS segment, the game is really front-loaded with Moogles. It's just like, look at all these Moogles. They've got different names and different abilities and weapons and stuff. But after the halfway point, Mog is the only Moogle left in the entire world. Everybody else is dead. So he's extra tragic. I love Mog. I don't like his abilities, but I love having him in my party. And like Jeremy said, almost every character is kind of the same by the end because you're just making them whatever you want them to be. So I just like seeing his sprite in my party. He's a fun little cute character.
No, I mean, I regret going with the easiest route of like, well, everyone knows Ultima and they're just going to cast that four times in a row.
Twice a turn for one magic point each.
Yes.
Leave the room.
So not only Mog, but of course in the very early goings of Final Fantasy III, you find all of the I don't know if it's all of the current living Moogles, but it's a whole group of them, including Mog. And what this is a way to introduce the player to one of the cool parts of Final Fantasy III, which is the ability to control three different parties of four characters each on the battlefield at the same time. And in fact, making it almost like a little bit of a strategy game where you're positioning the characters on the field, trying to get in front of enemies that are not random encounters, that are actually enemies you can see, and essentially playing a tower defense with these three parties. And this is before, I mean, later in the game, you will do this because you will have enough characters in your squad to fill out three separate parties. But at this point, you do not. But it's a way to let you experience that gameplay mechanic without having all those characters in your party, and all the rest of the characters are filled in with different Moogles. And in Japanese, they're all the names are puns on the, it's like, it's Mo something. Mo Lulu is the one that I know, because that's that was canonically Mog's girlfriend.
Oh,
Mo Lulu. And so she was, I think, Kook. And in the everybody remembers a lot of the ones in the U.S. because they were all Koopo puns. So it was like Koopop, Koomama, Koopan, and then Cuckoo and things like that.
Yeah, Brian Lee O'Malley named his band Koopek after one of these.
He did.
Yep. I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I really, the Moogle defense section is really great, because it's one of those cases of, you know, game design as tutorial, like a playable sequence that gets you ready for something that you'll need much later, because there are areas where you have to break up the team and control multiple parties. There's you know, a very similar defense in kind of the same area against Kefka's army, you know, in the first half of the game. But then the final dungeon, you're also controlling three different parties as you kind of make your way through this multi-tiered puzzle. So the game giving this to you early on as just like, you know, in the very kind of prologue almost of the game is a really clever way for them to say, hey, here's this fun little thing where you're controlling your furry little buddies who live in the caves. It's so cute. You really can't lose here. They're just adorable. And also, this is training you for the future. Hold on to this.
Yeah, it's a lot to throw at the player that early, in that you're controlling, I don't know, 12 or 16 different, you know, characters essentially, but you're so overpowered that it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, and most of those characters, it's like, it doesn't matter if you didn't power up your own characters, because you are being given characters that are powerful enough that you're not going to have a problem. Mm-hmm. And then you can even learn, it's like, you can, you know, Mog is now, he's going to be in your party later, but he's officially in your party during this segment, which means you can do things like, you can, I think you can learn the first dance with Mog, maybe.
Yeah.
You can also take all of his equipment off if you want to and give it to your other characters.
So
you want to be a jerk? Yeah, right?
This is Snake.
Hey, Snake, it's Sam.
Who are you?
Sam, from the brand new PlayStation podcast, Polygon Symphonies.
Is that so?
Yeah, it's a podcast that's exploring the PlayStation library.
Impossible.
Well, not really. Each week, we take a game, play it, and then we rank it in our grand list of games.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's available on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I didn't mean to sound sarcastic.
That's okay. Just check out Polygon Symphonies, the PlayStation podcast from the Greenlit Network.
On the Hardcore Gaming 101 podcast, we ask the tough questions.
Killing a Rayman, whatever that may be, is that really so bad? Like,
no,
is he even alive? Like, do we... Does he have any desires, Cal? Does he have any dreams?
We're ranking the top games of all time, and it's not a task we take lightly.
There are three Battletoads, Drash, Zitz, and Pimple. They're all skin problems, get it?
Two of them are the same skin problem. This has always bothered me. Zits, rash, and eczema. You know what I mean? It's like, even that makes more sense.
Hardcore Gaming 101. Twice a week, every week. Subscribe at greenlitpodcast.com.
Come on, guys. We're going to be late for class.
Oh, darn. Not on our first day.
Don't worry. I pressurized all of our bike tires to optimal PSI for speed.
Wow. So we should be able to average 9.6 miles per hour, which should get us to class on time.
We love Podford University for teaching us these skills.
Podford University, iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere you get podcasts.
perhaps it's because everyone died in FF6 that this is now the decline of Moogles is happening after this. So games have grown up. It's the late 90s. We're all rude teenagers, and we don't have time for Final Fantasy. It's time for Final Sci-Fi, the next generation of games. Moogles take a lesser role, and we brought this up briefly, but Moogles seemingly don't exist in Final Fantasy VII. In fact, when we do see the presence of Moogles, either in summons or in other parts of the game, they're called Mogs. And I don't know why they did that, but it's not a different kind of animal. In fact, there's some differences in that.
They did that because the localization of Final Fantasy VII was bad.
That's one reason. But if you want to have some headcanon on this, in this game, the Moogles don't have the palms hanging from their heads by an antenna. I think the technical reason for that is because they didn't want to render a round object with no polygons to spare. But yeah, that's the one main difference in this game, is that the palms do not exist on these Moogles in Final Fantasy VII.
And if you lose the Dealey Bobber on top, what's even the point?
What is he? What am I looking at here?
Yeah, some house cat? No. I would have guessed, other than just not doing a good job, the Mog, they would have gone with Mog just to, like, get every character they could, like, letter they could in for space, just in, if they're going to write out Moogle versus Mogs, it's like, well, that's three more letters. Yeah,
possible. Wait, I'm trying to think. Because there's like Ketshi is 9 characters, so it wouldn't be like a big restriction like that. But okay,
maybe it was because of the Choco Mog summon. Like the summons could only be 10 letters or something like that. But no, early in the game when I saw the Choco Mog summon, I think it's one of the first ones you get, I was like, oh boy, this is gonna more Moogles. I played 6. I'm ready for more Moogles, but no. And then there's a few other Moogle things in the game, like Mog House, which is, I really want to see what they do with Mog House in the remake, because it's a mini game that I think is just built around trolling you, and that it's just the slowest, most tedious thing possible, and it's very, very cutesy and very, very for little kids in this adult mature game. But then we get to Ketshi, or Kate Sith, as you probably said it for the past 25 years, in that I was like, oh boy, this is the Moogle in my party, and it's such an odd party member, you don't know what's going on with them. But I was so disappointed when I found out that that's not even a real Moogle. It's a fraudulent Moogle, and I got upset. It's a mascot,
and I don't like how buff it is either. Like, that's I don't know,
buff.
Well, to me it looks but it looks like a gorilla to me, the design of the one that Kate Chi followed. I see, I can't even now, I can't program myself to not say Kate Sith. but Choco Mog summon in remake, I remember being disappointed all over again when I got it in remake. And well, I used it once just to see it, and I was like, well, I got cooler summons or more powerful summons for this game. But what bugged me about it too was just rewatching it yesterday in prep for this, was that it's like the Moogle's like just a guest in a Chocobo one. It's just a Chocobo run, and he's just like riding along. So again, just fully sublimated to like, you're the B squad. Chocobo's up front here, buddy.
There's no Moogle breeding in this game. It's all about Chocobo breeding. I want to run a Moogle brothel in my Final Fantasy game.
They're too close to humans. It's at that point it becomes weird.
That's true. They can't speak our language. I apologize, Jeremy. Sorry. Go ahead.
They pass the sentience test. So let us not breed them carelessly.
So other Moogle appearances in this, we have the Choco Mog summon. We have Ketshi. He is a stuffed Moogle that is ridden by a robot cat that's controlled by a member of the government. Yes, that's what the game is about. I can't wait to see how Remake tries to make that a serious plot point.
I think the people in the remake who only played the remake just see the like 8 seconds of that cat on screen.
What the hell?
Yeah, they have no fucking clue.
And also,
at this point, I mean, you know, given the ending of Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1, I think they, you know, I don't think they feel beholden to necessarily keep things in if if it doesn't make
you have a point.
Yeah, Keiichi could appear for like two more, like just to be like, hey, I'm going to join your party, and then just explode, and then they're like, I've made a better robot. Now this is who I'm piloting.
Yeah,
I'm even more marketable now.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then other Moogle appearances in this game. So it's Mog House, it's Keiichi, and also Keiichi will summon a Moogle as one of their limit breaks. So that's basically three appearances, and I think there are Moogles on the snowboard course, and they're like snow Moogles. So they weren't losing them entirely, but you could see them backing away from Moogles and being more serious about chocobos. But
And in the remake, there's the collectible Moogle coins.
That's right, yeah.
And the kid who wears a Moogle suit and like, oh, Moogles are cool. They're this made up thing. And that actually made me sadder. I was like, oh,
they're not real.
They're not real. So
Final Fantasy VIII has a massive Moogle shortage. So the main presence of Moogles in this game is Mini Mog. Again, we're calling Moogles Mogs, I think, because of character limits. And that is a summon in the game. And the Moogle is also designed to be more realistic. It looks a bit more like it did in Secret of Mana. And no palm on this, so I think we're still shy about rendering that palm in 32-bit polygons. I don't know what's going on here. But I honestly feel that, we mentioned this before, I feel like they were trying to innovate in the Moogle space. They're saying, well, Moogles are the early 90s. We're going to move into the year 2000 soon. How about Moombas? They're cute little lion things. And I have to say, My wife is going to be very mad at me because Nina, my Matsumoto, my wife, she loves Moombas, and I'm a Moomba disliker because I feel like they were trying to supplant Moogles. It was a conspiracy from the inside.
Moombas are the Poochies of Final Fantasy.
They really are, yeah.
I mean,
that's one of the big downsides to Final Fantasy VIII. Moogle erasure, not acceptable.
No,
you at least get the little cute alien guy if you follow that weird quest all the way through, which admittedly I've never done, but I've seen videos of the cute little alien guy who has kind of the same kind of chubby, squeezable, like punch those little cheeks kind of qualities as a Moogle, but that's about it.
I do like him, but yeah, it does feel like Nomura was saying, okay, Moogles, I got something more for you. This is a little bit a better stuffed animal we can sell. But Moombas didn't catch on, and outside of like appearing in trading card games and things like that, visual appearances, there's been no Moomba. So if you're a Moomba fan, you're getting even more screwed than Moogle fans like me.
If you're a Moomba fan, you need to stop and question your choices.
I agree.
I'm sorry. I realize you said that. Nina is a fan, but I don't know.
We're
man.
Getting
I
her just, help. We're getting her
get
help.
Into those things. Okay, that's good.
Well, I can see
intervention.
I can see in 8.2 like just this move towards the overall design of the game is so much a move towards reality and away from super deform style, and so that's also why you'd open the eyes and get rid of the clown nose on a Moogle. Like it looks less silly. So yeah.
So moving on to Final Fantasy IX, we did a really long episode about that last year. So that's Patreon episode 340. It's an exclusive episode. So listen to us talk about that game for 2 hours. But Moogles are back because this is a throwback Final Fantasy. Tons of Moogles. This is where the Mognet system is in place for the first time. Moogles are doing correspondence throughout the world. There is a unique Moogle called, I mean, they all have names, but there's a uniquely designed Moogle called Stiltskin, this very neat adventurer Moogle. If you support him throughout his adventures, you eventually get a ribbon from him if you support him on every time you find him throughout the game. And the palms are back because it's the year 2000 and Square is like, we can make a round thing out of polygons on the PlayStation. We figured it out. They finally did it.
I mean, I think what we're looking at here is, I mean, obviously, so the development team split, right, after Final Fantasy VII, the Final Fantasy VIII team, Final Fantasy IX team, and it was very clear that the Final Fantasy VIII team was going to take things in this, you know, hyper-realistic direction, whereas the Final Fantasy IX team was going to make the Final Fantasy game that included, you know, almost in an almost pandering sort of fan service way. That, again, worked.
Totally.
With this is going to be the one with the Moogles, you know. So the Final Fantasy VIII team probably didn't feel like the need to, you know, include Moogles and you know all the other cutesy stuff to the extent, because they knew that all of that was going to be in Final Fantasy IX.
They look across the hallway and see just like Koopa sounds just flying out of it. They know it's in safe hands. Yep. Yeah.
Black mages and everything cute and marketable.
Yeah, the crystals came back, and so did Moogles. Yes,
it's true. And one thing I forgot about, and I just replayed this game last year, is that Mog is in this game. It's a Moogle named Mog, and it's the pet of one of the characters in the game, Iko. And Mog will appear in another game. This is not the Mog I know, but it's a Moogle called Mog, so that's another reference to FF6. But yeah, there is a strong Moogle presence in the game, but to date, outside of the Tactics series, FF6 has the only playable Moogle, and again, that is a big shame, and Square needs to answer to these crimes, I think. I'm upset. So moving on, we're going to talk about Moogles in the 21st century. So this is going to be a very brief overview because Moogles, they're more of a 20th century idea. I think in the future, there's no place for Moogles because in Final Fantasy X, zero Moogles. There are no Moogles in this game except for the Moogle doll that Lulu has as a weapon. And she's actually holding it in her key art. So there's very minor. But I think it's around this time that you see Moogles a lot more in the series as dolls, as merchandise in a very self-referential way.
Yes. Yeah, so at this point, you did have a lot of merch. You know, Square Enix definitely was selling a lot of plush chocobos, plush cactuars, lots of plush Moogles. So there definitely was, I think, a pressure to get the Moogle in there in some way, and to have Lulu use dolls as her attack was, I think, pretty inspired. It's pretty cute. And then literally they can just sell you. If the Moogle is only going to be there to sell you the dolls, you might as well have it in the game as a doll design. So cosplayers can buy it and whatever.
Yeah. It puts me in mind, having just recently watched the Godzilla Showa era films, of the point in Godzilla at which movies start opening with kids playing with toys of Godzilla. Like, it goes from being this primal force, like a living destructive metaphor for the nuclear arms race, to like, hey, I'm a little kid playing with the guy who trashed Tokyo a few years ago. It's you can go buy these toys at the store right now. Check them out, kids. It's very much the same kind of thing. Like the series, the franchise has grown to the point where it basically turns its you know, commoditization, its merchandisability into an in-game, like an in-universe diegetic element. Point at which it kind of starts to crawl up its own ass, I think.
Except they never, it's like it, but and then, you know, the kid plays with the Godzilla toy, but then actual Godzilla does show up later in the movie. What's happening with Moogles now is even and Chocobos too, I mean, to less extent, because you still ride them in the games, but it's like with Moogles, it's like, oh, well, of course, that's the mascot of the Final Fantasy series. So they just stick it randomly in the Final Fantasy games, even sometimes simply as a mascot doll. And they don't do anything else with it.
So you're saying that Sin should have been a Moogle?
Huh. Yes!
To keep the parallel going. Yes. Okay, there we go.
I will say, when I was replaying Final Fantasy X a little bit for the Final Fantasy X Retronauts that we did, I had Lulu in my active party, and I accidentally selected attack with her. And, I mean, it was very funny because she puts the Moogle doll down on the ground and it like walks over like
I forgot about that.
To the enemy and like slaps it for like 1 HP of damage. And then Lulu even has a voiced line mid battle. The Moogle goes over, hits the enemy, it does nothing, and Lulu says, "I just figured I'd try it."
Wow. That's great. Yeah, I think, I mean,
yeah, it was really funny.
We've all been talking about it, but I think Square is trying to reframe what a Moogle is in the player's mind. A Moogle is not a living creature. A Moogle is something you can buy. In fact, go online now and you can find them.
And throw them at your own friends, just like these characters do.
And actually, so I was looking at concept art for the game by Amano, and Amano draws a lot of weird things in his concept art. And there is a Moogle in the key art for the game, but I figure he just threw that in for fun, because if you look at the key art for FF6, he was having a lot of goof around fun with those characters, because in so many of the character art for FF6, there was just a random like imp or goblin floating in the background next to the character. So I think he was having fun. I don't think there was a plan for Moogles in FF10. Sorry.
Oh, you're getting a comment for that one, Bob.
I know. Someone unsubscribed. but I think he was just goofing around. But yeah, Moogles.
Oh, God, the Patreon is dropping quickly.
When you guys are talking about him drawing in the margins previously in, you know, Sergio Aragone style, I was thinking of that in the concept art, just like it just fills blank space in a more fun way than just another wisp of smoke or whatever.
Yeah.
Would. Yeah.
Thank you.
So on to FF10-2, a very limited Moogle presence, but again, we're seeing Moogles more as merch or as mascot characters in the game, in that you, in the dress sphere system, the mascot class, Yuna is a Moogle. So it's actually very, very hard to get. I've never really played this game, but apparently you have to do a lot of very tricky, specific things to get this mascot class. And that is really the extent to which Moogles are featured. And also, there is a Moogle only Yuna can see, kind of like the Great Gazoo, in one of the quests. But in this case, it also resembles a stuffed animal. I watched the cutscene, so it's like, yeah, in these two games, Moogles are just things you dress as or things you buy.
Now, well, at least that calls back to the Moogle suit. Like, it's a fun throwback as well, which is like the dress sphere itself is, you know, just a throwback to the job system. So it's fun that they can even bring back dressing up like a Moogle, too.
Yeah.
And in FF11, the MMO, this is my one really big blind spot when it comes to Final Fantasy. So I know there's a lot more going on, but Moogles do come back. The Mog house is your house in FF11, and Moogles do a lot of very functional stuff for the player in terms of options and things like that. But and there are Moogles in the world, so Moogles do make a return, but this game is really, really unknown to me. So maybe if you're in the comments, let me know what presence Moogles have. I just know that they are really in this game in a very functional way, and I think that's cool. And then moving on to FF12, so this is part of... Okay, maybe Jeremy can answer this question. Is this game in the Ivalice Alliance, or is this not in the Ivalice Alliance?
This is like the heart of the Ivalice Alliance.
Okay, because Moogles were redesigned for the Ivalice Alliance series.
Ooh.
And I like the design of the characters, but I don't want them to be Moogles. And I also think it's weird that we have two kinds of rabbity races, in that the Moogles in these games, FF Tactics Advance, FF12, I think Revenant Wings, and FF Tactics A2, The Moogles are all redesigned to look like these rabbity characters. They're much more humanoid looking, especially the female variants of the Moogles. And the only characteristics that really carry through for the Moogles in this series of games are the palms and the wings. Everything else is different. Their eyes are fully open. Their faces are different. Their noses are much smaller. This was this series' interpretation of Moogles. How do we all feel about it? I heard Henry already booing.
Well, yeah, I will say I didn't. When I started playing Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, a game I did like bounce off of after 10 hours, I think it didn't help that when the first time I saw a Moogle, they didn't look like how I like Moogles to look. And I just thought, like, this is bullshit. Is this what Moogles are going to look like now? I especially when they already got the sexy rabbits. Why they need the cute rabbits too? Like, just let them be Moogles.
Too many rabbits.
Yeah. So, and then 12 came at a time when I was moving across the country and did not have time for any long RPGs that were not in a handheld. So I skipped that game. But finding out that it was set in the same place as Tactics Advance, I don't think made me want to pre-order it more.
Aww.
You know?
How about Jeremy and Chris? How do you feel about the redesigned Moogles?
I will say that because the Viera, the rabbit women, mostly women, are they all women?
They're all women. Anyway, the men are all off on vacation.
Because they are very serious and the Moogles are very goofy, I look at them as like a R2-D2, C-3PO kind of pairing. There's the tall, serious one and the short, goofy goofy one. Yeah. So the cute ones, the little cute ones. So that's where I stand on that. Also, Vaughn and Pinello are also like the C-3PO, R2-D2 characters of the universe. But that's in a storytelling perspective. Mm. Anyway, Final Fantasy XII is like the sort of earliest point in the Ivalice timeline. And then Final Fantasy Tactics, so all those games are kind of set way far in the distant past, or the distant future, sorry.
I feel like this is a controversial take, but I actually like Tactics Advance. I played it for 100 hours, and it was fun, and I liked it. I don't know. Am I the only person on this podcast who liked this game?
I thought it was okay. I didn't like it as much as Tactics. You know,
nothing can be as good.
System, I've enjoyed it a lot more, but it's not bad.
And
Advanced A2 is bad.
I didn't like that one. You're right about that. But so I like 12. I played it for 120 hours. I finished the game. I think a big thing was a big swing and a miss on 12 was that there are so many cool races established for the Ivalice Alliance, and you have all humans except for Fran. I feel like that was a huge miss. You should have had one person from every race in your party. We just did the Breath of Fire podcast as of this recording day, and I was like, Breath of Fire got it right. Everybody in your character is a weird mutant. But I feel like Square didn't think a party full of mutants was marketable as these very attractive human beings in your party. So, and that, there you have it. That's just my thought on that.
I'll just say again about Tactics Advance, I judge it before it can judge me.
The role for this podcast session is no judging.
No, that's why I'm quitting right now.
So we're going to move on to Final Fantasy 13. Nothing to say because there's no Moogles.
No
Moogles for Final Fantasy 13. Two things in the game reference it by name, a store and an item you can get that you can sell, and that's basically it.
Yeah.
So FF13, thumbs down. I don't like you. I didn't like you to begin with.
It's such a Western focused gamer. It's so towards the Western viewpoint, which I would think their marketing research would say that, like, the hardest core fans got into it with 6 in America and they love Moogles. But
I think they were aiming for Call of Duty fans for this title.
I guess so.
Like, Moogles will distract you.
That game is held together with chewing gum and duct tape, and I mean, not having Moogles in it is like the least of its problems.
That's true. There are much bigger problems. But in Final Fantasy 13 2, Mog returns for a third time and he won't shut up. And he's got a really big head. And this is the first time since 6 that a Moogle has been so prominently featured in a Final Fantasy game. Mm. And whenever a game comes out, there's a ton of trailers. Like, here is the, you know, the fighting trailer. Here is the world map trailer. Just about all the elements of a game. This game had a Moogle trailer. So they were announcing to the world, like, A, we fixed Final Fantasy 13 in a way. But also made it worse in some other ways. But also, Moogles are here. Moogles are here again.
I had totally forgotten that they're in this game. All I can remember is Choco Boco Lina, who just won't stop showing up and won't stop being weird.
This game also features a lot of Moogle abuse because you can throw Mog at treasure chests that are in the distance.
It.
Yeah.
But, that's right. Yeah. That's right. I totally forgot. He's such a key part of what's her name? Sarah's ability to run around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No,
this is the 13-2 was the first Final Fantasy game that I straight up just did not play.
Wow.
Like, I think I played the first like 20 minutes of it and was just like,
it's weird. It's weird.
I don't want to do this. I played 13 and I was so disappointed that.
You know, with 13-2, I didn't finish it. I barely played it on the retail copy, but it will always mean a lot to me because the literal first day I was in Japan ever I went straight to a Final Fantasy 13-2 demo appointment that I know at least Jeremy was at. I can't remember if you were there, Chris, but it was at their building in Shinjuku. And so for me, I guess I associated with like extreme jet lag and feeling sweaty, but it is special to me in that way. But yeah, I can see why Mog or Moogles came back so big, just because they were trying to adjust in some way after 13. Like, do you want the cute shit? Do you want the references back? We'll have a cute girl and a guy who looks like adult Sora as the main character.
We gave you nothing you wanted. How about some things you want?
Yeah.
And that was Final Fantasy 13 2. And Lightning Returns, so we see a very similar motif in that we get the idea of a hidden Moogle village again in this game, assaulted by monsters. You have to rescue the Moogles from that situation. And this game is all about making Lightning look very stylish and also very stupid. And one of the costumes you can get for her, I believe it's DLC, I never got it in my playthrough, is a Moogle outfit that's essentially a leotard with a bunch of Moogle plushies strapped to it. She looks stupid as hell in it. And I don't know what powers it gives you, but I know you're a fan of the game too, Jeremy.
I've never seen this. It's amazing.
Yeah, it must have been DLC because it got its own like featured trailer that you can just see on YouTube. Yeah, Bob, with the high fashion that Lightning was promoted with wearing, there's a fine line between, you know, stupid and high fashion. And maybe we don't have the taste levels to understand what that couture is.
I could see Lightning strolling down the catwalk in Milan with a bunch of stuffed animals strapped to her.
Yeah. I mean, it is very runway. Like, that is probably that Harlequin leotard she's wearing is probably like Louis Vuitton or something.
I think she did a Gucci ad, didn't she?
There was a whole photo shoot in some Japanese magazine with a bunch of different characters in from Final Fantasy 13 dressed in like actual, like, you can go buy this off the racks kind of fashion, which I think was it Louis Vuitton or was it Gucci?
I think it's Louis Vuitton.
Okay, yeah. I'm getting that mixed up with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure at Gucci stuff. But yeah, that in general, that is that also felt like a thing of like pushing us away of like, you nerds, we're trying to get talk to people who wear nice clothes.
This game's about fashion.
Yeah.
And that's Lightning Returns. But in Final Fantasy XIV, it is such a throwback kind of game. And we went over how it mines everything about old Final Fantasy, including beavers that we didn't know existed. But Moogles have a very strong presence in this game. Thankfully, even though Final Fantasy XIV is kind of Evil-y in many ways, and to the point where there's a Final Fantasy Tactics crossover, that's amazing, by the way, if you want to pay 200 hours of that game to get to it. Thankfully, the Moogles lose their rabbity forms. They're back to how they should look.
Yeah.
And there are so many things in the game. Obviously, there's a lot of merch in the game based on Moogles, like, you know, gear you can get based on Moogles, and furniture, and mounts based on Moogles, but there's a Moogle tribe in the game that have their own quests. I didn't do them because I'm not a crafter in the game, but apparently my wife Nina has done some of the Moogle quests, and a lot of them are about breaking up a Moogle union, which I found very odd.
Whoa.
So
you're a scab against the Moogles.
Yeah, no, you're a Pinkerton.
Oh, you're the Pinkertons on them. Oh, man.
You're beating them all down. But the highlight of all the Moogle content is a battle against a giant Moogle and all of his Moogle friends. It's Good King Mogglemog, or Mogglemog. No, it's Good King Mogglemog. And the background music for that will be in this podcast. It is a ripoff of This Is Halloween by Danny Elfman from The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's a very, very clever, I guess, parody without any permissions.
I like the King Mog. Like, it's a fun throwback and wacky character. I like that.
And you don't actually kill them. You just knock them out because it'd be rude to kill a Moogle, I think. No one would stand for it.
Yeah.
And I've been married in real life and in the game, and Moogles officiate your wedding. I did not have a Moogle officiate in my wedding in real life because it was COVID. We could have had someone dress up like a Moogle if times were different, but
that would be the ring bearer.
Yes,
be that. Yeah,
no, Chocobo ring bearer, or no, Tom Berry ring bearer. Come up the aisle very slowly.
Of course,
get that ring from him fast though.
But it should be on a knife. The ring should be in the end of his knife.
You gotta grab it fast. We're reaching the end of the mainline Final Fantasies, and okay, Final Fantasy 15, like in Final Fantasy 10, robbed of Moogles. So there were no plans for Moogles. For whatever reason, Square was upfront about this. They were like, Moogles will not be in Final Fantasy 15. In interviews about Final Fantasy Versus 13, which was the original version of this game, Nomura said
it was a Nomura game to begin with, so it can, you know, kind of corroborate your theory.
But he said in interviews for that original game, there will be Moogles in it. Something happened between Versus 13 and 15 where they decided no Moogles, and then they were surprised that people wanted Moogles, so they polled the audience, do you want Moogles? The answer, of course, was yes. Mm-hmm. People want Moogles in a Final Fantasy game. I don't know why they need to ask the audience. But because of that, there was no Moogles in the game, but then later there was a DLC-timed event quest in which there was a festival in the game that was themed around chocobos and Moogles. So
yeah,
that was the way to bring in the references. But I don't know why they were so afraid in the first place.
That was... the DLC thing, I finished FF15 but didn't really go back for the DLC, but the Moogle Chocobo Carnival that's like in the fake Italy town of the setting of the game, like, it that looks fun and stuff. Though again, the Moogles don't get their own, like, the merch, the in-game merch the characters are wearing, it's like yellow and pink. It's like, I want to be able to buy a Moogle shirt or a Chocobo shirt separately. I don't want them to have to share this position. And
they should have their own festival.
The road trip bros in Final Fantasy 15, it should have been just three of those dudes and then a Moogle.
Yeah,
the same size as all of them.
Man, he could be the Zach Galifianakis of the group.
Exactly.
Yeah, but which of the bros would you cut? The smart one, the hunk, the cute one, or the main guy?
I wouldn't cut the one that makes the food. I would say we have to keep the main guy. What about the annoying one? Cut him.
But if I could remember his name, I'd say you shouldn't do that. Noctis, Gladius, and two other guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I don't know either. I played that game.
Prompto I'd keep because Prompto. No, he's got the camera. He's the photographer, the in-game photographer. Yeah, he's got the photo mode.
Let's cut Donatello from the party.
I love him though.
He does machines. So who's gonna?
I invented a new recipe.
The Moogle is gonna fix the car.
That's right. The mechanic Sid, who doesn't wear any clothes.
Now
I think that's the one Moogle in the game. Jeremy is she has a stuffed Moogle in her truck. I think that's it.
That's right. Sydney has it in her
like
truck.
Like in the trunk, just
tied up,
desperate to be out.
I think
its little paws can't use the escape latch.
I think it's like hanging from the rear view or something. Yeah, but
it's strapped to the front like Lotso Huggin' Bear.
That's the other thing a Moogle is in the game is that like it's an in-game item that's basically like a Raggedy Ann doll you just throw on the field and it distracts enemies and they attack it. So the Moogle that's there, it's like you have to destroy it. Like it has hit points and it'll eventually explode or just be destroyed. And so they're like, okay, you want a Moogle? Kill it every time you want to see them.
And Moogle. Buy more.
Yes.
I think that there is a disconnect between the people making the game and then the Final Fantasy fans that were like, we want Moogles, and they're like, ugh, Moogles, fine, we'll put them in your stupid game, I guess.
That's so 1994.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 16, it's not out yet as of this recording, but since they're going for a medieval classic Final Fantasy style, possibly there could be Moogles. I hope that they are not cowards like they were so many times in the past. I feel like if there's a time for Moogles to return, it is when this game comes out, because there's no excuse to not do Moogles with this setting, I think.
Yeah, they've got the power, and they've got the power of the PS5. They can fit so many Moogles onto there.
So much fur shading.
Yeah,
you can fit so many Moogles into this baby.
Slapping my PS5. It's the size of a car, so you can do that.
Yes, yeah. You know, if you had a little bobber palm you could put on your PS5, you could then almost make it look like a Moogle.
It's a very misshapen Moogle.
Yeah, PS5 is really close to actually being Koichi Ishii's original Moogle design. Oh, you got me saying Moogle now.
Moogles.
Dang it.
I'm going to make some Moogles when
thing.
It's a bat, a mole, and a mule.
Let me also complain real quick. Just when I was trying to search, Moogle history video on YouTube, every time it was like, do you mean how to delete your Google history videos? Like, here you go.
You've been flagged.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, I hope they show up in 16.
I do want to delete my Google history. It's all pictures of Moogle now.
You're on another list for that. Yeah. But 16, chocobos are in the trailer, I'm pretty sure. But no Moogles yet. But who knows? I want them to be in this game so bad. Of course, I'll play it. But boy, I really want to know what this game's going to be. We'll find out soon, hopefully. And to wrap up here before we close out the show and do our plug, just a few other appearances. There's a lot more to talk about. I really wanted to only cover the main games, but obviously Moogles show up on a lot of Square things. A lot of times Moogles are mostly relegated to being like in menus and tutorials and things like that. They're kind of like the little demons that live in those systems and help you out there. But a notable omission is FF Tactics. I kind of like it in a dark way because in the game, it just tells you straight up, Moogles are extinct. There were Moogles in this world, but they don't exist anymore. And you have chocobos in the game, but Moogles are gone. But in FF Tactics Advance and A2, Moogles are playable. They're the weird rabbity things, but I just like playable Moogles.
That's a monkey paw right there, man. Yeah.
There's rarely playable Moogles in any of these games. It's a Tactics Advance series and also 6. And then you're talking about Henry in Crystal Chronicles. There's Moogles in that. The Moogles in Crystal Chronicles are basically these like floating fur orbs. There are too many Crystal Chronicles games, but they're in all of them and they look the same, and you can buy various versions of those as well.
I like how they're just like, little golf ball size things. The fatter, the better. Like if you like squeezing their cheeks, now they're basically all cheek to squeeze,
go on.
I talk about Crystal Chronicles like I played a crap load of it on the GameCube, and then every time they did a new one, I'd probably demo it and just say like, "Eh, I'm good." same with the remake that did that come out? If it did come out, I didn't play it, but
it came out.
Nobody likes it.
I really love. It just gets me. It's like, yeah, there are a ton of Crystal Chronicles games. I really love how like Square Enix is this odd duality where it's just sort of like, we will literally never make another Chrono game. It will never, ever, ever happen. But then it's also like, oh, here's like literally 6 Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles games. all at once. We'll just do the whole pile of them.
Let's also, try it again.
Yeah, but really, Akitoshi Kozu has something on someone.
That's true. No, Jeremy. Yeah.
They'll dive into something though, and they'll just make like 18 sequels to something in the span of like 2 years.
Not to insult fans of this game, but a lot of their Final Fantasy games have just rotten modern ports. You know how they look. You know how awful the fonts look. You know just how cheap and awful they play and look. But it's also Square is also like, hey, how about a perfect Saga Frontier localization with new content? Do you want that? Just like, yeah, that'd be good. But also give us the other games that are more in demand. What are you doing? It's very weird. I don't know what their priorities are, but you're
different departments, I guess.
Jeremy, Kawazu has pictures of everybody dating back decades.
You don't work in that office for 35 years without digging up some dirt.
It's true.
You know where all the bodies are buried. Yeah.
Other things like Secret of Evermore magazine, along with the cast of FF6 and the Colosseum scene. I know that Moogles are in a lot of the Chocobo games. That's going to be its own series. That's going to be its own podcast, the Chocobo series. But there's a specific Moogle who might just be called Mog, who's in a lot of those games, and including the Chocobo's Dungeon series, which is very good.
Yeah, I have to give the shout to the Mog in Chocobo's Dungeon because he's a major presence. He has like five different alternate personas, and he shows up throughout the dungeons constantly in the game, doing these different, you know, playing these different roles. And they range from, I looked it up to make sure I have it right. There's Dungeon Hero X, who basically is mostly there just to tell you, like, you know, the tutorial stuff and say, like, here's what's ahead in the dungeon. But he can also fight against you. There's Pop-Up Hero X. I don't remember exactly what they do. Merchant Hero X. So he's basically the dungeon merchant that you occasionally encounter in a roguelike. Romantic Hero X, who will give you special things if you find certain key phrases by helping people. And then finally, Robber Hero X, who will show up and basically play the rogue thief who tries to steal stuff from you. So basically, it's the same Moogle, just pretending to be five different people throughout the games. So it's, you know, it's not world changing or anything, but it is a fun little nod to, like, hey, there's this whimsical little critter and he's gonna be showing up. You never know where.
And that game is great. I played it on the Wii. I did not play the Switch port, but I heard that's also pretty good.
It's very well done.
Henry, you have the Moogles in Mario Sports, weirdly enough, which were Square Enix developed games.
Yeah, one of the weirdest things in Mario Sports history is that, well, I guess not that weird, because Camelot did the tennis and golf games, and they're in an RPG factory. So first on the DS and then on the Wii, Square Enix co-developed with Nintendo Studios Mario Hoops 3-on-3 and Mario Sports Mix. And in both of those games, like, there were the Final Fantasy squad that could play against you, and that included a very cute little Moogle who, if you like look up the gallery art for it, it's like, here's the Moogle spiking the volleyball towards a cactuar, or seeing just one balanced on top of a basketball. Like, it's just such an odd visual that it tickles me. I just love to see it. And though it looks like after that one they just kind of stuck to Camelot doing the Mario Sports games again, and Square hadn't really touched him since.
What a weird time to be alive.
Yeah,
that was.
and also I was thinking of the Fortune Street, Itadaki Street, Dragon Quest games. When they started to cross over with Final Fantasy, the Moogles get shoved to the side. And if you see the logo, it's like slime on one side next to the logo, Chocobo on the other side representing the crossover. And I get it. Chocobo's the A-team. But like, just on a scalability factor, like, Moogles are so much closer in size to a slime. You have to like shrink down a chocobo to be like a baby chocobo.
They have hands. They have hands.
Yeah.
I don't know. In doing this podcast, I realize that I'm part of the problem because I don't think I have any Moogle merchandise. I was looking around my living room, and of course I have chocobo stuff. I have the two chocobos that are dressed as a white mage and a black mage next to each other. I'm like, oh, my chocobos are here, but I don't have a Moogle. I don't have one Moogle to speak of, and maybe that's why they're not putting Moogles in games, because we're not buying enough Moogle merch.
Yeah, you know, I have like two chocobos I know of in this house, but I don't know of a Moogle. I failed as well.
I'm hitting eBay right after this podcast. But yes, I didn't know if I can get 90 minutes out of a Moogle podcast, but thank you so much, everybody on the show. We did it. We talked about Moogles.
Yay!
I don't think we neglected one fact. And if we did neglect one fact, everyone will let me know in the comments because that's how these things go.
Oh, wait. I have one more fact. Moogle food at pop-ups Final Fantasy cafes I've been to, they're my favorite food because usually they're vanilla ice cream based. And the one I ate that I referenced at the very start of this, I went to the Artnia cafe they have in Shinjuku, and that was it was Moogle pancakes, which really was just like a pancake, just a stack of three little pancakes that they then imprint a Moogle onto, and then strawberries around it. But a very tasty one. It wasn't as good as the slime pancakes, I will say, but they were quality pancakes.
Moogles and slimes, very easy to base desserts off of, I think. But yeah, that was a great podcast. And again, there will be a Chocobo one coming at you this year at some point in the future. But let's wrap up. Chris Kohler, you are one of our Moogle experts. I know you have a new release that came out recently, too.
Oh, yes, that's actually true. Yeah, I can finally talk about it. I'm at Digital Eclipse, the video game studio now, and we just put out a Blizzard Arcade Collection in partnership with Blizzard, which has The Lost Vikings, Rock and Roll Racing, and Blackthorn, three of Blizzard's early 16-bit games. And my role on this, since I, you know, cannot program worth a shit, so I nothing to add to that. But I basically put together the museum that's in Blizzard Arcade Collection, which has lots and lots of box scans and manual covers, but also behind-the-scenes stuff and stuff that we were able to pull out of development materials and stuff like that, and really just sort of telling the history of the first few years of Blizzard from humble beginnings up until basically the release of Warcraft, which is where everything went crazy. But we put that out, and I'm really excited that it's out there.
Yeah, it looks great. And I have Moogles on the mind, so I forgot to do plugs for Retronauts, so let me do those now. So, of course, this is Retronauts, and you can support the show by going to patreon.com/retronauts. Sign up at the $5 level. You can get all these episodes 1 week ahead of time, and also access to two exclusive full-length episodes every month that aren't available on the free feed. And also, that $5 a month gets you a weekly column and podcast by Diamond Fight, so you get a lot of bang for your buck. And, of course, we have other levels of the Patreon too, but if you want to get those extra episodes, it's $5 a month at patreon.com/retronauts. You can find us on Twitter as Retronauts. And Henry, what about you?
Oh, well, the listeners, if they like hearing me reminisce about things or remember things, I have two podcasts I think you're going to love: Talking Simpsons and What a Cartoon, both co-hosted with Bob Mackey. We, on Talking Simpsons, cover The Simpsons in chronological order. Right now, we are dual-wielding Season 12 and Season 2 at the same time, alternating weeks. So, hear all those fun chats there. Plus, there's the What a Cartoon podcast, where we talk about classic animated series in the same style as Talking Simpsons. Tons of history chat on there. You can find Talking Simpsons and What a Cartoon wherever you listen to podcasts. And we are Patreon supported as well. There are tons of exclusives on patreon.com/TalkingSimpsons that you will definitely enjoy. So please head over there and check it all out.
Jeremy, how about you?
I'll keep it simple. You guys love me. I love you. You can find me on Twitter as GameSpite, and you can find me doing stuff all over the place here at Retronauts, at Limited Run Games, and on YouTube under my own name. I've got nothing to hide. No aliases here. I am not Dungeon Hero X, despite what people may claim.
And I've been your host, Bob Mackey. Find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. And that's it for this week on Retronauts. We'll see you next time. A fine Koopo to you all.